Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one robot podcast in all of Centauri Alpha number 6. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jezzle Wazzle.
Initiate joy sequence.
Sequence not found.
404, so sad. I was dating a girl in high school, and...
Nice.
I know, right? I almost went 4 years without one date, and I dated this girl. And she came up and hugged me, and I put one hand on one of her arms as I was sitting down. It's like, it's nice to see you, because I'm a sociopath, and that's what I say. She's like, Jason Frisbee, you have the heart of a robot. And I said, initiate cry sequence. She did not think that was funny. Everybody else did, but she did not.
I find that funny.
Thank you.
So, like,
Anybody else find that funny?
I wish that I had an audience laugh track queued up. I would use it. Or, like, clapping or something. But, yeah.
That'd be nice.
So yeah. She was, like, all happy to see you, and you just put your hand on her arm and was like, it is good to see you.
Yeah. Well, you know how I am sometimes, where I'm like, it's nice to see you, too.
Yeah.
And that comes off as, like, a deadpan drone. Term announcement.
Yeah, when like you say things that like you really truly mean, but like they're things that like dickheads, like 99% of the population is dickheads, so like they would never say anything like that because like we're all you know, we've all got Asperger's and spend all our time on Facebook, but you actually get pleased to see people and you are willing to admit that to them, and so everybody thinks that you're the weird one.
Yeah, it's a curse, and the way I deliver it is part of that curse, because I am pleased, but it comes off as me saying, I am pleased, and that is not pleasing to everybody else.
That's true. And then sometimes, like, you do those head ticks, like Max Headroom.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just repeat myself.
I am pleased.
I move like Mark Mothersbaugh from early Devo performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's off-putting, I guess, to some people.
Yeah, it is really distressing, actually. I should work on my people skills. Learn to be more human.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of human, you were supposed to go to Oklahoma this week. Did you go to Oklahoma?
I did!
Did you die?
I said I was going to do something, and I did it.
Did you die in a tornado?
I did not. Nice. I outran a tornado, like some sort of folk hero.
Were you
near? How does that grab you?
It grabs me nicely. I imagine you with a big blue ox running from a tornado and then hitting it with a huge baseball bat.
And then chopping it with a giant axe or some sort of railroad hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting it with one of those things instead. Yeah, we'll hit it with a railroad hammer. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I was racing the construction of a railroad track by building it myself.
And then you planted apple seeds in all the towns across America.
This is hilarious because we're dodging the only one that actually did, like, lasso a tornado. I think that was, what was his name, Pesos Bill?
Oh, I don't know anything.
That was a tall tale. It was like a cowboy who lassos a tornado.
Well, that sounds a little far-fetched.
It's one of the last cowboys. You know, there's, like, the last industrialist, the last lumberjack, and then the last cowboy. He's like, I'm so good, I lasso a tornado. There was that movie back in the 90s, Tall Tale, and Kurt Russell played him.
I don't know about that. I would really like to talk to Bill Nye and see if that's possible, to lasso a tornado. It's probably about as believable, I guess, as freezing a volcano. And a lot of people seem to think that's okay.
That sounds like an evil villain's plan. That sounds like either Mr. Freeze or, what is his name, Dr. Cold?
Professor Cold or something? I don't know.
It's the stupidest name.
Some decent
Somehow character. Mr. Freeze rolls off the tongue today.
Yeah. Well, it happened in that Star Trek movie that came out. But it was pretty dumb.
Spoiler alert! Why are you talking about that shit?
It happens in the first 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I still didn't know that happened. How's Benedict Cumberbatch?
Well, he's got nothing to do with the volcano. We can get to that. I want to know how you survived the tornado.
I just drove as fast as I could.
Were you around at the time? Like, were you near there at the time that it was happening?
No, I wasn't. All happened on Monday, basically. But Saturday night, I was visiting a friend of the show, Phil. We've had Phil on before, talking about the Oklahoma Thunder and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, I like those Thunders. I like those Thunders. Kevin Durant is a nice man.
It's a genuine thing, too. Like, basically, the city of Tulsa and Oklahoma City, like, midway through the state, and they kind of run in, like, a straight line across from each other from east to west. The tornado was, like, miles south of Tulsa and was heading north-northeast and kind of, like, grazed by Oklahoma City. So that was on Monday, and I missed all of it. But on Saturday night, the weather was picking up really horribly, but everybody's used to that. Like, did you ever stay in Oklahoma when you were going cross country?
Yeah, we were there for one night.
Was it storming there?
I think so. Or it was like maybe like that weird, like calm, like almost stormy feeling that you get in those plain states. Where like it's like eerily calm and there could be a tornado at any minute, or like the sun could just shine like out of the darkness.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's good weather. When the sun starts shining out of, like, midnight nightness, darkness, then that's good weather. You can't predict that kind of weather, though.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. PodAwful.net.
Oh, by the way, I messed up big time. Patrick Swayze was Peso's Bill in that Tall Tale movie.
Well, that's, you really fucked that one up, Frisbee.
Good night, everybody.
See you next
the podcast. See you next week.
See you next week. It'll just be me and Muhammad next week. Jesus.
It's just gonna go around in circles.
Yeah, well, he
like a who's on first thing, but instead it's meet me at the Red Onion. Which Red Onion? I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Which life?
Well, at least he knows what actors star in which movies. Like, for example, Muhammad, who starred in the hit movie Cobra?
Sylvester Stallone.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Muhammad.
Who starred in Die Hard?
The Rock.
Got any more for him? He got that one right.
Was The Rock in Die Hard?
Okay.
Moving right along. Let me get back into it.
Why don't you ask him another one? Ask him another about it. Another hit action movie. Who was in that?
Fast and the Furious 5.
Hulk Hogan.
See, he's good at that game. He knows who's in what movies.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
he's very knowledgeable. He's a regular IMDb's over here.
You're right.
All right, so what happened when you were there? You're having fun? Weather happened?
Yeah, weather happened. It was Saturday night. I'm feeling all right. We was partying. And like good bros do.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I hear like this epic sounding, very poetic sounding, not poetic sounding, jeez. This ridiculously loud thundering. And it's one of those thunders that's, it feels like it's right overhead and feels like it's shaking the house and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jumping out of my seat, like, just slightly, like, ooh, I'm uncomfortable. Everybody else is fine. These are all kids, all folks who deal with it, you know, weekly and whatnot.
Yeah, when a storm...
It's not new.
When a storm starts for them, like, sunglasses come down onto their face.
Yeah. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm. So you were afraid of this storm?
Yeah, I was very much afraid for a bit. When it first started, when I saw everybody else was fine, I was cool with it.
Yeah, that's understandable. I got real scared about a storm that happened here recently. Like, it never rains here, and there's never lightning here, and there's never thunder here. But like the two times that it's happened, it's been like crazy scary. I don't know what the deal is, if it's like because I'm close to mountains or an ocean or whatever. But it makes thunder so loud that the whole house shakes. It's so scary.
Yeah, man. It's a weird thing. Because, I mean, you want it to have an earthquake, and that kind of makes sense, right? Like, yeah. The ground shakes because it's the ground that's shaking. And when the entire earth shakes because of some noise, that's weird.
Yeah, I thought we were having an earthquake during the thunderstorm, but then I realized it was just thunder. Which seems weird.
A disaster film.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be so awesome if we were having, like, a thunder and lightning storm during an earthquake. I was like, dude, this is going to be so dope. Charlton Heston's going to show up. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Karen Black's gonna be there, but it didn't happen like that.
Well, yeah, this one, the thunder didn't last long either. It was only when like the wind was getting up to gusts of like, I don't know, like 40-60 miles per hour, something ridiculous. Like, it was heavy winds, like girls getting their hair blown in their faces, it's going horizontal. You're like, oh, maybe we should go inside. That's when they're like, hey, we should go inside. When you can't see out of your own hair because it's defying gravity. It's obeying physics, but defying gravity.
Yeah, would you say that the thunder and lightning was very, very frightening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were no thunderbolts, but yeah. It was pretty scary.
Because that was a Queen reference, you know? The thunder
You're
and lightning.
You're the champion of Queen references, or I'm the champion of being afraid?
I don't know, it can be both, I guess. But, you know, thunder and lightning, very, very frightening. Beat Galileo Figaro, and Galileo Figaro, everyone, this holiday weekend.
Yes, Memorial Day. Do you have any big plans coming up?
Is it really a holiday weekend?
Yeah. Oh, Memorial Day is on Monday.
Oh, I was just saying that because that seems like something somebody would say on Christmas, you know? I was like, that Dickensian thing, but Memorial Day sounds cool, too.
What day is it, sir? It's Queen's Reference Day.
And then that kid's like, fat bottom girls to you.
Get me the most fat bottom goose at the market.
Mm-hmm. And ride your bicycle there. Because Queen writes songs about some real stupid shit. Fat bottom girls, being champions, riding bicycles, the most fucking idiotic songs I've ever heard of in my life. Anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. Queen is only a forerunner to, like, bands like Gwar, Ween, Weird Al. Weird Al did a song about going through with fast food. He did a song about Rocky Road ice cream.
Well, he knows he's being funny, though.
I'm pretty sure Queen knows they're being funny, too.
I don't know.
Did you ever see, like, Freddie Mercury? When he's on stage, his microphone doesn't have a bass to it. Like, no, it has, like, the stand part, but it doesn't lock into anything.
Well, I don't...
How does that make sense?
Well, that's like science. There's some science in there.
Right?
I don't know. Yeah. I think Queen was writing some real shit. Like, they were like, yo, I just wrote the song about bicycles, man. People are really going to respond to this well. Like, I don't think they were... who knows? I don't know. I don't know enough about Queen. I think they're dumb, though. Suffice it to say, I'm not going to try to rock out of my car to a song about bicycles. Not 10.
Oh, well, that's shameful that you don't like Queen.
You liking Queen? You think they're the best band in the world?
They're pretty great, yeah.
Oh.
Would it surprise you that England has Queen as one of the best bands in the world?
No.
Best band. It beat out the Beatles.
Well, that's... I don't know. I have no strong feelings about any of those British bands. If it's not Muse or the Sex Pistols winning their Best Band Out of England award, I don't really care. And even then, Muse only really has the one good album, so who cares?
I didn't know you like Muse.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I saw them one time live in concert.
Where was this?
I believe it was in Columbus, Ohio.
Ah, yes, the capital of our home state.
Yeah, actually, well, yeah, that was a good show. I think that was in Columbus, Ohio. I think Muhammad saw them one time in Philadelphia at the Spectrum. Isn't that right, Muhammad?
Brother, who makes the Spectrum rock and roll better than anybody?
Probably Muse, I would think. Probably Muse.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Did you ever see Muse?
No, I didn't.
They're pretty good.
I can imagine that, yeah.
Yeah. I saw them right after Absolution. So it was like before they like started doing like dubstep and like making like jock jams and stuff. So that was good.
Well, do you have any plans this weekend then?
No. No, I don't.
Alrighty. Did you see any good movies this past week? Or did you already talk about these on your Junk Food Dinner podcast?
No, I didn't talk about anything on Junk Food Dinner. I was very tight-lipped this week. They were like, how do you feel about this movie Star Hunter? And I said, I ain't telling. I ain't squealing. They said, well, what do you think about Midnight Madness? I said, hey, I'll never tell. You're never going to get it out of me.
So this is like a two-minute Junk Food Dinner rather than a two-hour one?
Yeah, it's a real short one.
Okay.
They were like, we got some nerd news and DVDs. What do you got for nerd news? I said, hey, I'm not going to rat out anybody. You want the news?
I ain't no squealer.
You want the news? You can look for it yourself. You got Google. I'm not telling. I saw a movie. I saw a movie called Star Trek. Did you ever see that movie, Star Trek Part 2?
No, I never saw it.
Did you ever see Star Trek Part 1?
I did.
Did you like that movie?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that one was pretty good. Thor was in it, and I like Thor. Clifton Collins Jr. was in it, I like him. This new one was pretty dopey, though. I was pretty excited for Benedict Cumberbatch. But, I don't know.
Not as good as the first one?
Yeah, not as good as the first one. And, like, Benedict Cumberbatch, like, I think a lot of people like his performance in this one, but it seemed like he was trying too hard to play a bad guy. Like, everything he said was like, Kirk, I will escape, and I will hurt you. Like, it was all, like, real, like, very plain villainy stuff, I thought.
It's more like WWE type threats?
Yeah, he was, like, talking about how he was going to find Spock and, like, elbow drop him, you know, stuff like this.
I'll give him the slinky leg drop.
Yeah, he challenged Chekhov to a match at SummerSlam this summer in Philadelphia at the Spectrum.
What's running wild in the Philadelphia Spectrum?
It's going to be Chekhov and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, crotch chops. I saw that in the trailer.
Yeah, in the trailer he does do the crotch chops and and then he like spray painted Benedict Cumberbatch on the back of Kirk.
That's a really intricate spray job.
Yeah. Much longer than just spray painting the NWO, but he had to spell out the whole name, which was weird because he was playing a character named Tom something. So I don't know why he would spell his own name, the actors, but what are you going to do? That's the way they wrote it, I guess.
Benedict Cumberbatch for life.
Mm-hmm. But since you haven't seen it, I guess I won't spoil it, but there's a lot of dumb crap in that movie.
Right on. Remember in the first one, they end up using that technique of, what is it? They expel one of the reactor cores, and that's supposed to create this explosion that pushes them away from a black hole.
Yeah.
That's from what I remember of a Star Wars geek telling me about that scene, it's like a familiar Star Trek trope. There's a Star Trek geek. I think I said Star Wars geek earlier.
Yeah.
But Star Trek geek was telling me about this. It's like, yeah, it's a pretty familiar trope where they just like deploy one of the cores and expect that to, you know, create Newtonian physics in space or something like that. And I guess you can't do that. Like, that wouldn't happen. I mean, they try to argue that it's a black hole where there's this massive gravity, so it's creating mass, and you have that mass, and well, whatever. I mean, it's science fiction, so it's like, to nitpick, it's dumb, but I think it's, you know, kind of have to deal with it. Science fiction was a little bit easier when nobody was thinking of any of these things. Like, you didn't have so much progress. Like, let's make an invisible man. He's different from regular men.
Yeah. Science was a lot easier before you had these goddamn Bill Nyes fucking everything up and these Mythbusters.
You gotta be so vulgar every time you bring up Bill Nye. Is it because of that thing he said about unlubed stuff up people's butts or something?
Oh, no. No, he didn't say that, but everybody on Tumblr thought he said that because they're all fucking idiots. Tumblr's being bought by Yahoo. That's exciting. Hopefully they'll implement some sort of filter that makes everybody not a fucking dummy. That'd be great. Maybe I can go one day without seeing, some fucking dork the other day. I was fucking scrolling through Tumblr, and somebody posted some, like, pink slime. They're like, yo, this is how McDonald's makes their chicken nuggets, man. It's pink slime, and they run it through a processor, and this is what it comes out looking like. And then somebody realized that that was not pink slime that came from McDonald's. It was the Tubby Custard Machine from Teletubbies, the food they ate. And so if I could get through one day without seeing somebody trying to use a picture from Teletubbies to, you know, propagate some fucking old propaganda stuff, that'd be great. That'd be really great. So hopefully this Yahoo changes for the better.
Can't believe Teletubbies are still relevant on Tumblr.
They've never stopped being relevant on Tumblr. They'll always be relevant.
I know.
That was
part of my, I guess, self-prohibition of Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm looking for a different word, but I'm not thinking of it right now. I was abstaining and not into Tumblr. I'll put it that way.
I think
remember
it's called...
that when I was like, I'm not into Tumblr. Yeah. I don't get it. There's a bunch of pansexuals running around with their slash fiction.
Yeah, I think it's called being intelligent when you decide not to be on Tumblr.
Well, it's probably that as well. Like, the whole pansexual thing, the whole slash fiction thing, whatever. But the slash fiction thing in particular was a slash fiction, and I'm hoping this was a joke, of the Teletubbies in a sexual lesson with Severus Snape from Harry Potter.
Nice.
He came to the Teletubbies world and taught them how to be telemen, or women.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was real. Not a day goes by that I don't see Spider-Man putting his engorged penis inside of Deadpool. So it's all real. There's no ironic shipping out there on Tumblr. It's all real.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, shipping was coming along well before Tumblr, so I can't dislike Tumblr. And I can't really dislike the people who are doing this. I'm disliking the fact that it exists. I don't want these ships to exist of what's his name? Not Vegeta. Well, yeah, there's probably one of Vegeta, too.
Yeah, people, I see a lot.
Piccolo pile-driving Goku.
Well, I see.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, well, I see a lot of Goku having sex with Vegeta pictures that people have drawn, taken time out of their lives to draw. And I've also seen a lot of Piccolo having sex with Gohan, which is a shame. Because Gohan is a baby, and also because Piccolo raised Gohan as his own son. Man, speaking of which,
right?
Some fucking dickheads on Tumblr were going on and on about how if you're not into incest, it's because you're closed-minded. And that was the day I almost closed my account.
Right on. I would have done that. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah. Man, that's the worst place on the internet. I know a lot of people talk about how 4chan's the worst place, but that all that place has ever brought me is, you know, live streams to UFC events and GIFs of boobies, and Tumblr, I think, is much, much worse.
Is this because you're too close-minded?
I'm way too close-minded. If I'm not into having sex with my relatives, then Tumblr's, you know... they're going to alienate me from the community. I'm not going to be well-liked in that community if I'm not into having sex with family members.
Well, there's other communities, my friend, so...
Yeah. Do you think that perhaps Joel McHale and Donald Glover would like me?
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
That'd be cool if I was well-liked by community.
Yeah.
The show. I think that would be a lot of fun. Actually, I don't think that would be fun. That show stinks. Everything stinks, Mr. Frisbee.
Tell me about it. This has been probably one of the worst weeks ever. It's been one of the worst months, too.
That's
I think
true.
It all started when those girls in Cleveland were found after 10 years of kind of searching or not really paying attention to when like a girl's on a dog leash in the backyard of your neighbor's house.
Yeah, that was terrible. I was hoping that they would never be found.
You know what I mean. Like... it comes to realization, oh shit, there's awful things still happening everywhere, but also in your own backyard. And it's like, oh fuck, that's right. Mm. And then after that, it's just like a dominoes falling. It's like, and tornadoes, and bombings, and those other shit.
It's been pretty bad. It's been rough. Like, we haven't really been doing lightning rounds lately. Because we've just been, you know, talking like normal people. And
just some bros and buds. That's it.
Just some bros smoking some weed together, chatting.
And, WeChat on Pool Party Radio.
And partly because every time I try to find funny news for like the last 3 weeks or so, it's just been terrible, terrible news about how awful the world is with these tornadoes, with these guys kidnapping women's, like you said, all these terrible things. What else? All these scandals, political scandals are happening. Like, it's just a terrible place out there. And it turns out there's no room for funny news anymore.
British people are decapitating each other with kitchen cutlery.
Yeah, well, I find that funny. A lot of people might not think that's a yuck-em-ups, but I think that's pretty funny. But still pretty awful. I liked how cordial the guy was. Did you watch that video?
No.
Well, there's a video of, like, the guy who did it afterwards. Like, he talked to somebody with a camera, like somebody was videotaping it rather than helping, because that's the world we live in. And the guy was just, like, all nice and stuff. He's talking with his British accent. You know, he was like, Mamma mia, I do this because we always want to be at a war with you. You know, you must understand that, you know, I apologize for doing this in front of innocent people. They got to see the grossness, but, you know, we going to war. And he was just, like, so nice about the fact that he just, like, killed this man on the street. It was really weird to watch.
That is strange. Yeah, I heard a report about that with in the same case of the Boston kids. He did those Boston bombings. Oh, yeah. The kid who was found in the boat, that was his thing, too. It's like, the reason we did this was because you're still at war with us, with our people, or with our nation, this sort of thing. Yeah, basically, it was stating overall that even though Osama bin Laden died and that Al-Qaeda is dying out, the idea is still alive. And
who could have foreseen that?
I don't know.
Who would have ever thought that that would be the case? That if you waged 10 years of war to find one guy, that it would make people mad and like make them want to continue the war? Like who could have foreseen that?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone, because of that War on Terror title. Like, when it started off with a war on a particular idea, we're going to have a war on terror. Next is a war on sadness and a war on bad vibes. Mm-hmm. So those things aren't going to go away with military force.
Yeah, anytime you have a war on, and then it's anything other than the name of another country, it's unwinnable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at best, use education, maybe have less people in dire poverty. I don't know.
Or get bigger bombs. Maybe that could help.
Yes, yeah, something that can approximate the entire size of a nation.
Yeah, you got to go one of the two ways. You either got to hang back and try to educate people and try to, like, you know, come to, like, some sort of diplomatic agreements or something, or get much bigger bombs. So big, in fact, that they kill everybody that would ever want to kill you. One of the two. There's no middle ground in these sorts of things.
And then you can actually proclaim, yep, I did it. I won. I won the war on terror. No more terror. So don't even think it. Don't even say it.
We won all that terror. Next up, war on drugs, round 88.
Time for more funding everywhere.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna bomb those guys. Those drug guys.
Hi friends, I'm Mike, and I co-host a podcast called Kissing Contest. Kissing Contest is a comedy podcast about movies and TV, featuring two men that platonically live together in Brooklyn, and their producer friend, who lives down the street with his own boyfriend, roommate. We love talking about the hottest and hardest industry news and sharing our throbbing opinions on current and not-so-current movies. If this sounds like something you can swallow, check us out on iTunes or visit our site at kissingcontestpodcast.com.
Those drug guys.
We're going
to
get
the
drugs.
If you're in California, I always meant to ask this. I mean, are you going to any of your local pot dispensaries?
No, I don't have a card.
But you get a card. Can you pretend that you're anxious enough? You can pretend that you're agoraphobic. You might be agoraphobic already. I don't know. Are you?
Well, I leave my house once every 3 weeks or something.
You're good.
A little bit of that is out of laziness, but a lot of that's out of the fact that I don't like people. No, I think that I could probably. I mean, I hear that they're like pretty relaxed about handing out these cards, and I get very, very anxious. I really think that I could probably get one of those. But, yeah, if I had more money, it's, like, kind of expensive, and there's, like, no... Well, I mean, probably not... I mean, it's kind of expensive for somebody who does not smoke marijuana to all of a sudden start doing it. But it's probably not more expensive than if you're already buying it on the black markets, I guess. But I think the closest dispensary to here is, like, maybe Fresno or maybe Santa Cruz. Maybe they close... I don't know. They've been closing them down a lot because the federal government doesn't like them. And also, a lot of people in California don't like them. So I think there was one in Fresno that closed down. I don't know. They're around, I guess. It's mostly, like, a big city thing. But I would like to. I haven't seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, so I really need to get some marijuana so that I can enjoy that. I really want to have
I was about to say, like, is 2001 your alternative to smoking weed? Like, I can either smoke weed or I can just watch 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Well, I would like to combine the two if I could. It's been a while since I've seen Eyes Wide Shut. I would like to rewatch that. I'm going to need to smoke marijuana.
I saw, I'll get to where I'm going with this here in a second, but I saw Great Gatsby on Friday.
Nice.
You're excited for Great Gatsby?
Well, not really. I've never read it, even though, like, all of my favorite authors, like, it's their favorite book. I've just never gotten around to reading it, but, I don't know. I kind of want to see it, but there's, like, so many things I want to see first.
Yeah, it'd totally be up your alley, being the Ellis, Bret Easton Ellis fan that you are. During his Reddit AMA, he was talking about, like, how every generation deserves their Gatsby interpretation.
Yeah. Well, he was saying that, like, every generation gets the one they deserve, which is to say, like a lot of the reviews have said that this is mostly just, like, a spectacle, and it doesn't really critique wealth as so much as it, like, flaunts it, I guess. I haven't seen it, but, I mean, that's what I've heard. And
yeah, I agree with that. That's what I thought, at least. I mean, it's Baz Luhrmann doing it, so I wanted to see, like, one of his movies on the screen. As far as that goes, I wasn't disappointed. Like, it was very bombastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Bret Easton Ellis was just kind of saying that, like, every generation gets the one that, like, an interpretation of that book that reflects their culture and the form of a movie, and that's how that one turned out.
I can't remember the Robert Redford one.
Me neither.
Or the one that had, like, Paul Rudd in it. I think Paul Rudd was... one of those versions, too. But anyway, this movie's in 3D, you know?
That's weird.
And I don't know how that makes sense on the grand scheme of it outside, like, the party atmospheres when there's confetti blowing around and everything. Maybe it does, like, there's the Valley of Ashes, or probably some ash gets in your face or whatever. And
Ash shows up and he says, groovy. And then it tricks all the horror community into thinking that's a good movie for some reason. That's what you mean to say?
You're talking about the original Evil Dead or Army of Darkness? Army of Darkness is where he says groovy, right?
Yeah, well, he says it in 2 and in Army of Darkness. But I was talking about the remake where he shows up after the credits and says groovy, and then so everybody goes, well, that's a good movie.
That was a thing after the credits?
Yeah.
And stay through the credits.
Oh, yeah, after the credits, Ash shows up and he says groovy, and then it's over.
How does Ash show up? Like, does he just come to the site? Or is it like clip from the original Army of Darkness?
It's just a close-up of his face in, like, a black background. It's, like, real stupid and cheesy and pandery.
Current day Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, he's pretty old.
It's not exactly a Marvel stinger. Did you stick around for that Marvel? You haven't seen Iron Man 3, I bet.
Oh, I saw Iron Man 3. What do you think, I'm some kind of dickhead? Of course I saw Iron Man 3.
I wasn't going to say it, but okay.
I thought we talked about Iron Man 3 last week, about the Mandarin.
Yeah, okay. Well, we talked about it loosely, I think.
Yeah, talk about Iron Man loosely, like that song from the 70s, you know, Hold On Loosely. Was that 38 Special?
I guess, I think so. Anyway.
I'm sorry, please continue about Gatsby.
But that's a better stinger, that was what I was going to say. Marvel does some pretty awesome stingers. The stinger on that one was pretty great. Gatsby, some 3D scenes, and... friend of mine was pointing out how awesome that movie would be to see while high on something, like on weed or shrooms or whatever. Would you do that if you got a card in time? Would you go see one of these 3D films?
I would love...
on drugs.
I would love to take LSD and go to one of these 3D movies. I think that would be very fun. I had the plan to go see Avatar I think it was Avatar. When it came out, and take like some LSD and go see that. But then I realized that I would have to like drive there and back on LSD, and then I was like, well, this plan was very ill-conceived, and it never happened. So I would like to one day.
If you lived across the street from a multiplex, then, only then, would you be able to.
Yeah, well, I'm going to Las Vegas in a couple of months. And
You're always going to Las Vegas in a couple of months.
I know. And I think we're going to be staying in a casino that has an IMAX 3D theater.
And an LSD shop next to it?
And an LSD shop. So that, I'll keep you posted on how that goes. But I think that would be really a lot of fun.
I can see that happening, yeah. Iron Man 3's 3D was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like the airplane scene in 3D.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. I didn't see the Star Trek's in 3D.
Maybe that's why it bombed. Maybe that's it. Not just the dumb storytelling or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the action would have been cooler in 3D probably. Because there was a lot of fun action, but the story was poops. Poops and poops. It was written by the Prometheus guy.
Oh, who's that?
Damon Lindelof. He wrote it, and the guys who wrote the 2 or 3 Transformers movies, they all got together and wrote it. So it was a real shit heap.
Oh, no. That says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. So did you like the Gatsbys? You like Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, it's okay. But, I mean, I do kind of agree with that idea that it's mostly spectacle. It's the most faithful interpretation of Gatsby I can remember. Although, I mean, I don't really remember too much of, like, the original ones, but I know they glossed over some of the details, and from what it looks like, there's this one, they try to work in every detail. Like, even how the characters move and present themselves. Like, at first I'm thinking, oh, that's just Baz Luhrmann being Baz Luhrmann. You know, like, Sam Raimi does, I bring this up all the time, but Sam Raimi has that thing of, like, all right, he's possessed, so he's going to look like a marionette puppet being wildly tossed around because it's a demon. He's being controlled by somebody, you know? You know how he does that with Deadites? And he does it in Drag Me to Hell?
Mm-hmm. I know about that.
Yeah, well, Baz Luhrmann's like, you know, act like you're... I don't know. I mean, there's something very, like, stage production about it when it's clearly a movie. And it's, like, halfway between, like, Bubsby Berkeley films and new cinema. It's like, act wildly and crazily, like you're in a Terry Gilliam film, something like that.
That sounds pretty weird.
Act like you're in Time Bandits. So, get really enigmatic and weird. But, otherwise, like, I mean, yeah, it's good to watch. It's a good watch.
That's cool.
Did you see Moulin Rouge?
I saw some of it. The wife owns it, but I don't want to watch the whole thing. Did he do Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It's not exactly like that. Like, I kind of like how he did that one better. But also in that one, he's trying to work a lot into it, if I remember correctly. Like, he's trying to do all that stuff. I think Moulin Rouge got a bit more stage production-y, but I don't remember that. I don't know if that's an original story or if that's from something else.
I don't know.
It's derivative of something else. But, yeah, this one's a bit more like Moulin Rouge and... Yeah, I don't know. It's still really interesting to see. I think he always does, like, interesting stuff.
You know,
you always tell when you're watching one of his films, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to know who my favorite Baz Luhrmann created X-Man is?
Go for it.
Moulin Rouge.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
pretty fun.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about seeing Gatsby last night. We saw Star Trek, and then we were like, let's see another movie. And me and my wife... she wanted to see The Gatsby, and I really wanted to see Pain and Gain. And so we just fought. We got into a fist fight, and then we were like, it turned out like They Live. Like, we were both very bloody and hurt, so we just went home.
Put on the 3D glasses!
You gotta see it in 3D to get the full effect.
Put on the 3D glasses!
Put them on.
Deal with it. marriage. So that's married life, huh?
Yeah.
Arguing about what movie you're going to see.
Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll see it next week.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go and not see The Hangover Part 3, because I think that opens this week.
Yeah. And if it's of any consolation, that Pain and Gain movie does not have that Macklemore song in it.
I don't know
like
what
preview.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, man, you don't know that Macklemore?
No, I don't know anything about music. Is that that guy who kicks some people in the face?
Not at all. Macklemore does the song about going to a thrift shop.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's got a horn section that's looped in it. You've probably heard it in, like, any number of trailers, so if you've been to the movies so frequently lately.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
It blew up. It's a song about this guy singing about how he's rapping about how he goes to thrift stores because it's cheaper than everything else, and he's going to wear your grandfather's clothes.
That sounds economical. I can get behind that.
He's the frugal rapper.
Yeah, I like that idea.
MC Frugal.
He's also got another song about how he goes to Aldi's.
MC Saves a Lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's got some songs about how...
He's dope, but not fresh. He's like a week old, but he's on sale.
I was trying to think of other things that poor people do, but I don't know what poor people do, Mr. Frisbee. I got lots of money.
Are you rolling in it?
Man, I got so much money, you don't even know. It's crazy the amount of money I got.
Are you a regular Scrooge McDuck diving into your coins, which is not a thing that you can do physically? Yeah,
it's not possible to do that. Let me count how much money I got for you. Here's $5, $6... $7, $19, Mr. Frisbee. You ever see money like that before in your life?
Yeah, but not once. That's that's pretty impressive.
Thanks. And that's just the money I got left over because I bought Serenity on Blu-ray last night, too, so.
Oh, I bet you're riding like a leaf on the wind.
You got right that now. Right. Well, yeah.
Come on, man. You just bought the movie. Ooh. You can't get bummed out.
That's sad.
You can't sound like an ape. Are you getting an angry ape now?
I was just breathing out due to extreme sadness. Man.
You know what you were getting into. You're like, oh, I'm going to get this Joss Whedon thing. This should be a real pick-me-up. Those movies need to come with antidepressants. They're great viewing, but there's going to be a bummer, man.
Pretty sad.
Just watch it with Kepi. He won't know what's going on, and I hear dogs love the taste of human tears.
That's true. He does love the taste of human tears. This is Joss Whedon. He's pissing me off.
Because you just bought his film.
I love his movies, and I love him so much. But I'm really mad that Agent Coulson is going to be back for that S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. I hate how Joss Whedon kills people. Like, everybody always says, oh, Joss Whedon, he gives me the feels because he constantly kills characters off. Yeah, but then 6 months later, he always brings them the fuck back, so what's it matter? My second favorite character. Well, my two favorite characters in all of Buffy and Angeldom, who are Spike and Wesley. Spoiler alert, if anybody cares how, what happens to these two characters 10 years after the shows have gone off the air. But, Spike and Wesley, they both die, and then they're both brought back. 6 months later, so who cares? I'm sick of Joss Whedon killing off characters because it doesn't mean anything.
The Spike thing I didn't get, but with the Agent Coulson, I thought that was just a ploy to get... He was the ignition for the Avengers to bind together. Like, I don't think he dies in that film. We never get verification that he dies. They're just like paramedics. And then Nick Fury just throws the bloody cards on the table in front of Captain America. He's like, what do you think? He's not like, he's dead, I think. And doesn't he get a call that says, like, is it all set? Okay. All right. And something like, not that you get word that he's in stable condition, but I'm pretty sure it's left open that he's not dead. Like, we do see paramedics going for him, right? I think he's just there as, like, you're going to put him near death, and they're going to act like he died so the Avengers can bind together. Because that's what they all had in common, right? They all liked Coulson.
Well, yeah, but that's still a trick of storytelling, though, if that's how they do it. Although, one of the paramedics do say, oh, we've got to call it. So he's dead.
I don't know. I have to go back and watch that part. Because ever since I watched that, I was fairly certain that, like, they never say Coulson's dead. That's something we got to research then this weekend. That's how we have to spend a Memorial Day weekend, memorializing Agent Coulson. Yeah. I saw your tweets about this and everything. I thought this is what you're referring to, but I wasn't sure. And yeah, we'll check it out. Yeah. I'm curious now.
I'll rewatch it, but It makes me mad. Makes me so mad. You can't just kill somebody and bring them right back.
But, oh, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
But Coulson, the guy who plays Coulson, is probably the only person from the Avengers that was willing to do a TV show, so I guess you have to bring him back.
He's in a new Joss Whedon film, too, right? That Shakespeare one?
Yeah, Much Ado About Nothing, coming out in like 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Pretty excited.
You know, for all the tragedy that's happening in real life, fake life is looking real sweet lately.
Man, you're telling me.
So many good movies.
I know. I'm going to have that Joss Whedon Much Ado About Nothing and Before Midnight, right around the same time. It's going to be a real great time where I'm just going to cozy up with a glass of red wine and maybe wear a cardigan. And it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be a pretty good time to be a white guy when those movies come out.
I really want to see that image of you with, like, candles and red wine and a cardigan with your legs up on the couch pointing to one side. It's going to be a fun night. Yeah, Arrested Development's coming back on this weekend.
Yeah, white people love that.
White people are in heaven right now.
White people are so stoked.
It's not like a 75% of the year thing anymore, or 90% of the year thing anymore. The other 10% is when, like, I don't know, you drive with your windows down, I guess.
Yeah, white people love that.
No, they don't love that, because you have to expose yourself to the rest of the world.
Well.
What?
That was a very good joke you made. Hopefully it picked up. I do want to reiterate that you say that white people don't like driving with the windows down because that exposes them to the rest of the world, and that's very funny.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But that is the end of the show already. How time flies. We didn't even do these lightning rounds. We found one funny story.
Should I hint at what it was?
Yeah, let's hint at it again, because we hinted at it last time too, so let's hint at it again and maybe next week we'll do it.
If you had a friend named Richard, how would you address him in a bouquet of flowers that you send him when he's in the hospital?
That's a good tease. We'll get to that next week on Pool Party Radio. Also coming next week, I think, is Jeremy from the Acid Pop Cult. Have you heard of that podcast?
Yeah, it's a good podcast.
Yeah, they've been doing a thing on their show for the last couple of weeks about how much they love us in an effort to get on the show. So that's very nice of them. It really helps my self-esteem to hear that. And so it worked, and Jeremy's going to come on next week. I think we're going to do some spooky point stuff where we do like Wes Craven versus a different director. But I'm not sure because I don't know what different director to put Wes Craven up against, because I was thinking John Carpenter, but most of John Carpenter's good movies are action movies and it doesn't seem fair. So, or like sci-fi movies. So I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll just make fun of Wes Craven and Kevin Smith and Aquaman for an hour. That would be rude of us to do.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm sure there's something. But if anybody has suggestions of what we could do, you can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Or leave us a comment over at facebook.com/poolpartyradio.
Mm-hmm. What about Twitter? Could people reach us on Twitter, Mr. Frisbee?
Nope, not at all. We are at Pool Party Radio and at Final Parker. That's Parker's. And at Jason Frisbee, which is me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on Letterboxd, if anybody wants to be friends on there. Because I review a lot of movies. And it's very fun to talk about movies with people on Letterboxd. Why don't you review movies on Letterboxd? You didn't rate Gatsby.
I didn't. I was going to, and then I fell asleep, I think.
I would have preferred it.
I know. I'll get on that, Chief.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
From now on, I'm going to be like Matthew McConaughey from Dazed and Confused. And then I'm going to ask people like if they rated movies on Letterboxd. And then when they say no, I'm going to be like, be a lot cooler if you did.
There you go. You're getting the Linklater spirit already.
Yeah.
Ready for that before midnight.
Yeah. Well, if you were on the Letterboxd, you would know that I watched Waking Life, Dazed and Confused, and Scanner Darkly this week.
I'm going to read your Waking Life review because I want to know what you thought about it.
Well, it's on there. I won't give it away, but I've got...
I'm just curious to see.
I'm glad. You can look in my cabinets later, too, for my reviews.
I'm going to look in your cabinets, look for the things.
Check out our website, poolpartyradio.com. We got old episodes up there. We got artworks. You can comment on episodes, even though we probably won't respond because we're lazy. And other things, we got links to all our boyfriends, like Illogical Contraption, and the Badland Girls, Acid Pop Cult, Kissing Contest, Junk Food Dinner, Pod Awful, and the Pod Awful channel, which you can go to. It's a channel, it's a network of podcasts. Mark Maron has a thing called Podcasts now, and I'm very upset, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, that's some bullcock, but, you know, we need to get on broadcasting, brocasting more.
Mm-hmm. Pretty upset that he stole from me the thing I stole from Sawfan, Podcasts.
We all steal from Sawfan eventually.
That's true. That's one of those Andy Warhol type of things. Like, everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame. Everybody steals from Sawfan eventually.
Yeah. You ever eaten a hot dog? Sawfan did. Yeah. Way before you did.
He did it first. You ever want to push somebody down a deep hole? Sawfan did it first.
Yep.
So yeah, check out the Pod Awful channel. There's other cool shows. Pod Awful by Quarterly Women's Social Club, who are both on hiatus at the moment. So, but you can still catch up with their old shows.
Yeah. That's fun to do.
Yeah. So those guys are good. And we've been giving Jesse P.S. Some bonus content. I haven't checked to see if he posted it yet or not. But if you sign up for this thing called the Scramble Channel, which is a very cheap thing that you can purchase, and you get all this bonus content from all these shows, including us, then you probably get that if Jesse posted it. I think we've put some good stuff. We sent like a whole half of an extra show last week. So that can be yours for a small, small fee. You can learn more at either podawful.net or at poolpartyradio.com. There's a little button on the right. It looks very cute on our website. I'm going to be honest. It looks real cute. But I guess that's about it. So for Jason Raisbays and Muhammad, this is Parker saying thanks for having fun.
is Mike Dick, professional podcast host from Kissing Contest. I just wanted to say that I think your show is full of the hottest and hardest movie news.
I'm very, very sorry.
And you really make me wet with the topics that you suggest.
Hey, this is Doan, producer Doan, hashtag WWF, hashtag Doan, hashtag tout, hashtag WWE. All right, hang up.
That is one big pile of shit.
You guys go.